Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 406. It's February 26th in 2016. Today, a man truly possessed of Satan while ruling on earth. His name, Ethbaal. Ethbaal. You never heard of him. Maybe you heard of his kingdom that I'm holding up right now for our viewing audience. This is the Phoenician kingdom, the Phoenician empire, if you will. Now, it wasn't a land-based empire. That is, it wasn't many, many countries all together under one ruler. It was a network of towns and small countries and bigger countries, but it was a network. It was a trading network, the Phoenician empire was. It was a place that, if you were in charge of it, was a place of great influence, great power, great wealth, and you would be known all over the earth, and this man was. He was a very, very important man on the earth, but you've never heard of him, probably. At first glance, the name is pretty far out. But I want you to stay with me as I grab my Bible. I don't know why I forget this every day. Get your Bible, too. You didn't forget your Bible, did you? Let's get that focus back in here. There we go. Get your Bible out and turn to 1 Kings 16:31, and I'll read to you from Scripture this name. So if you've read the whole Bible through, you have heard the name, but you probably didn't stop and meditate over it very long. Came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him, that is Ahab, and to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of, you got it, Ethbaal, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him, the father of Jezebel. Right away you can tell that the family is not a great family. Yes, there is an Ethbaal in your Bible. Remember, Jezebel is the most wicked woman that our scriptures have ever recorded. When you talk about a Jezebel, you're talking about an evil person, even to this day. It was no doubt a marriage for politics. For Ethbaal, as you may know, was certainly not a Jew. Ethbaal was the king, the emperor of a nation, of an empire that was already corrupt and would one day be swept away by history as it has today. I speak of Phoenicia again and its great city, Tyre, which was located roughly in the area of today's Lebanon or Syria. Phoenicia was an enterprising, maritime, trading culture that spread across the Mediterranean from 1500 B.C. to 300 B.C., according to Wikipedia. They're usually pretty good. Also, as Canaanites, and they were unique in their remarkable seafaring achievements. Still speaking from Wikipedia. The Phoenicians were among the greatest traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, of their time. And they owed much of their prosperity to trade. That's a key thing in a prophecy that's coming up. And that prophecy is in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 28. It indeed mentions the trading aspect of the Phoenician way, showing how it had corrupted this civilization. The prophecy of Ezekiel mentions that, but until their demise, to rule these cities was to be a man, as I said, of worldwide power and glory and riches. Their influence spread all over the world. Though they were not technically an empire, they were surrounded by and connected to empires. And the greatness of these connections became an integral part of Phoenicia. So, Ethbaal is called the king of the Sidonians in the King's passage we read. And Josephus adds that he was also king of Tyre, the twin city to Sidon of the Sidonians. These were the main cities of the Phoenician culture as far as actual land that they owned. Ethbaal, by the way, means with Baal. Baal was the predominant god of the enemies of Israel. And Ahab sold out to Baal worship to please his evil queen. Ethbaal and his daughter were two of the reasons that the curse of God came on the northern kingdom, 721 B.C. Remember, Assyria came in at that time. Well, the name Ethbaal was used by other kings of Tyre over the generations to come. One of them, Ethbaal, or Itobaal, if you please, the third, seems to be the subject of the startling prophecy given by Ezekiel in his 28th chapter. So Ethbaal, the father of Jezebel, is not the subject. I'm just using that name as a family name to let you know where Ethbaal the third descended from. It was an evil family, a Baal-worshipping family. Josephus says that Ethbaal the third was the one reigning when Jerusalem fell. Hence, the words of Ezekiel 28 would apply to him, as judgment was soon coming at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. That's in 570 B.C. Now, I list this man as one of the possible seven kings of Revelation, not exclusively because of any of the above facts. I list him because of that prophecy in Ezekiel to which I have referred. In fact, let's go there now. Ezekiel 28. For those who are just tuning into this one, and I don't recommend that, I hope that you'll go back to the others and see where we've come from, but we are trying to find the candidate in this year of candidates. The ones that are coming up in America and throughout the world, those are okay, those are temporary deals, but we're talking about a man who really will rule the world before Jesus comes. And according to the prophecy in Revelation, he has already lived on earth. And it says in that same prophecy that there are seven kings that have already lived, five actually, that lived before John heard this, and then one while John was alive, one that still hasn't come, and one of those seven will be the eighth, that eighth being the Antichrist himself. Now, I don't know if you're slow as I am, but I just got to Jeremiah. And I haven't got to Ezekiel yet. That's not fair. You're probably sitting there waiting for Ezekiel, and I'm still here talking. Ezekiel 28. The first part of Ezekiel 28 is written to the prince of Tyre, and the last part written to the king of Tyre. Progression of the same man, not sure. He talks about how he says in his heart, "I am a god." That's an Antichrist person, isn't it? "I sit in the seat of gods." Now remember, this is historically, this is Ethbaal the third, historically, as you look down through here. But just as in the other prophecy that we read the other day, there's a dual thing going on here where God is speaking to both. He's in the Garden of Eden, he spoke to Satan and a serpent. In Isaiah, he speaks to a king of Babylon that we haven't come to yet, and Satan. It's possible to do those two things at the same time. And here he's talking to both, as we'll come up with later. But you're really a man. You think you're a god, but you're a man. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, you think you're as wise as Daniel, wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that could be hidden from you. And he talks about the pride of this man. And then his downfall, how you'll be thrown into the pit. You shall die the death of the slain in the midst of... By the way, a person that's put into the pit, that's a kind of a clue. Now, every one of these guys has a clue, because it's out of that pit, that bottomless pit, that the angel will come. Right now, that the Antichrist is being restrained. According to 2 Thessalonians 2, the restrainer. It's not what you have heard about, that idea of the Holy Spirit being the one that's lifted from the earth, and that's the restraint. It's just not there. The idea of restraint comes from Revelation, where angels can restrain people in that pit. And when it's God's time, the angel lets go and that person isn't restrained anymore and he can come to the earth. That's what's going to happen one day. He will descend out of the bottomless pit. Here, Ethbaal the third is being told he'll go to the pit, but Satan is right there in the whole thing. And that's where the last part of the chapter comes in, the king of Tyre. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Who was in Eden? We know that Satan was in Eden. And he talks of a description of the heavenly place where Satan was. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. God created this angel, this beautiful, beautiful cherub. And we know that evil was found in him later. That's why he had to be destroyed. But he's entered into Ethbaal here, wanting to take over the world. He's done it. He will have done it 8 times before it's all over. And that 8th time will be his final undoing. There's possibly no more clear description anywhere in the Bible of a man so totally given to Satan's program for this planet. He and Satan are cursed simultaneously here, just as Satan and the serpent share a curse in Genesis 3. So I want you to listen carefully. Again, I read it, but I want you to listen to the main points of the prophecy. Paraphrased, God is speaking to the prince of Tyre, Ethbaal the third, just to the prince. You are proud. You say, I am a god. Your riches have been gained by your superior knowledge and your superior wisdom. Your success in trade has made your heart exalted. Strangers are coming against you. You're going to be thrown into a pit. But keep listening now. Keep listening. That was to the prince. He's now speaking to the king, the real ruler of Tyre, Satan himself, embodied in this wicked man. And here's the points about that one. You were indeed perfectly wise and beautiful. You were in Eden. You were the first of the created angels. By being involved with trading on earth, you became violent. You entered into sin. I cast you out, therefore. You were still proud. I cast you to the ground. I allowed you inside of Ethbaal to be burned to ashes. And you shall be no more. We see the lake of fire in the book of Revelation. Some of this prophecy seems to speak, as I said, of Satan's final judgment in a lake of fire. But once more, we compare what we have seen here to others of his kind, and to the final model called Antichrist. And we ask, is this the one? And the list starts looking familiar. He's proud. He's exalted himself above God. He wants to be God. He's a world ruler. As a descendant of the Canaanites, he's truly an enemy of Israel. He's filled with Satan and cursed with him. He has a violent end. Yeah? I'd say he qualifies. I think he qualifies as a possible candidate. Could he return? Could he attempt to complete his work against Israel and Israel's God? Now, I know you're caught up in the other candidate selection of our day, but think about it. And it is interesting. It surely is. I've been following it too. I probably have followed it more than I should, because it really, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. It does matter. And we are responsible to a degree for what happens as people who can vote freely. But it's nothing compared to this one. And people ignore this altogether. They say, we don't want to talk about the Antichrist. We want to talk about the Christ. But what if you're wrong? What if Antichrist really is coming first? What if he is coming first? Will you recognize him? I'm telling you that the next world ruler is not Antichrist. And that's in Revelation 17. It's very clear. There is another one coming before Antichrist. Will you know the difference? Or will you just jump on the bandwagon? We know many will do it. Ah, he's here. When they see a world kingdom and a world ruler, they'll say, that's the Antichrist, and they'll be very wrong. They'll be very wrong, because he's only the seventh. Antichrist is the eighth. He's resurrected. Whether it's the seventh resurrected, which I don't think is true, or someone that we've been talking about here resurrected, it is a resurrected king. That's non-negotiable. That's in the text. Does it matter? These things should matter to us in the Word, and not the things of this world so much. Am I right? Of course I'm right. All right. I want to thank you for being with me today. Hey, when you contact me, and there's ways to do that, you know, on YouTube. There's ways to do it on Sermon Audio. Let me get my little card here. You've seen this before. All right, it says sermonaudio.com/aservant70. Just go there, and you'll find ways to contact me there. You can click on Store to view my books. You can go all over that site and finding all kinds of material that I've put there over the years. If you want the video, you Sermon Audio people, go to youtube.com/theprofessorenglish. Be sure there's no spaces in there. It's all one thing. Go to Twitter. Follow me at Twitter, and you'll know exactly what I'm doing from day to day. That's at Doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S-76, and you can email me also. When you contact me, you want that longer? Okay, there's the email. Fine. Email is bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And when you contact me, ask a question or suggest a topic of study. We might get to it. You can give me a prayer request or just say hello. And I like that. I really appreciate the things I have been receiving from people all over wherever you're from. And they're from everywhere. We got them all over the states and many different countries where English is spoken or where there's an American happens to be there. It is so good to hear from you and to know you're there. So let us know. Remember where we started today. Ezekiel 28:14. And before I end, remember that tomorrow, Saturday, we don't do any of this. There'll be no video, no audio, nothing. We take a little break. And then on Sunday, audio only for a while, because the author that I'm reading has requested that we not do a video on that one. So audio only, sermon audio. These are the generations of Eric Foley. It's wonderful, wonderful story. I'm caught up in it myself, wanting to know where it's going to lead. And I hope that you will join me for that. Then on Monday, we'll get right back to candidate number, well, you know, in the book, the little tiny book that's available to you. Let me hold that up again for folks. This is the book. There are seven kings. It's available at Amazon.com. In the book, it says, candidate number, ? And then Nebuchadnezzar, ? I'll tell you all about that Monday. God bless you. Remember Ezekiel 28:14. What we're studying is serious stuff here. You, God says to Ephraim, indwelt by Satan, you were the anointed cherub.